Good morning, friends. It's great to be with you today. Our altar is so beautiful. It's wonderful. I invite you to come up and look at it closely after service if you haven't had a chance. I was reflecting on our topic of karma, and for the Thanksgiving service, there was a beautiful I want to say presentation, but it really, I'm not sure what else to say about it, but we had many of our, we call next wave leaders, leading the service and sharing about gratitude, our affirmation today. And as I was listening to them, I felt like, wow, well, there it is. There's the talk for Sunday service. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I recommend it. And there were different pieces that stood out to me. So one of them, Navashan was talking about this quote from, I believe he said Keats, that Swami would talk about, where from a poem where Keats said that, you know, there was a rainbow in heaven, and but later it came into the category of ordinary things. And I so appreciated Navashan talking about just kind of like, gosh, which was Swami's point as well, how we can miss the miracles of life, right? That we can, that those things and rainbows are definitely one of them, certainly for me, that they're awe-inspiring. And we just see them, and for me, they never get old. There's just something magical about them and amazing. And throughout scripture, they are there as a promise, right? A promise of God, the rainbow. So I've been reflecting on that. And Sai Ganesh was telling a story about ordinary miracles and just kind of talking about synchronicity. And I felt that as I was listening to him, it was reminding me, come back and look for God everywhere, right? And, you know, pay attention to those things that I could dismiss. We could dismiss them and not notice, oh, synchronicity, coincidence, was that really God's presence? And I was reminded of a quote, I believe, from Einstein that said, you know, either everything's a miracle or nothing is. And so to be able to live in the practice of looking for God and having a grateful heart to say, I see you everywhere, our chants help us to do that. We sing them and they lift us, right? They lift us to a higher level of consciousness that helps us peer in and see behind what's happening. So our affirmation today of I give thanks to the giver behind all gifts, and this practice of being able to say and see the divine presence behind it. And I know for myself, it is a practice, right? It is a practice. It's first living in that affirmation, all comes from God, all comes to my life as a blessing. These are our teachings, that everything that happens provides my soul with an opportunity to awaken more fully into my divine self, my divine truth of who I am. And that affirmation, so now I'm thinking of Tandava, he talked about context, right? And for me, that the teaching of karma provided a context for my life that was really missing in my spiritual life. And I needed it, and I still need it, right? And so part of what it provided for me is this, and as often has been said, karma and reincarnation go together, right? So this idea with karma that it's here to as a blessing, as an opportunity, as a gift. My own soul has called this in, right? Like has known ahead of time, well, this is the body I need to incarnate into. Karma creates the body, right? So this is the life, this is the family, this is the situation that is where I have come to. And so it's perfectly designed to help me. And then the soul calling in circumstances that the conscious mind cannot make sense of. So I know from my own life that there were absolutely circumstances that were baffling, bewildering, overwhelming. And without the context of karma and reincarnation, I would have lost all sense of meaning in life. Like, and I remember one really, kind of the biggest one for me that rocked my spiritual life was my father's death. So he died 2 days after my 28th birthday. And he had really significantly come into my life when I was 16. So prior to that, my parents separated when I was very young. And I was raised in a household of profound unhappiness. Right, just like a lot of people, my mom, my older siblings, really struggling. And so it was hard. It was definitely hard. And my dad came in to my life. Like, I saw him. I always liked him. And I'd see him on the weekends. And I always appreciated, right? But we weren't close. We really didn't have much of a relationship. And I'm the youngest of six, and there was always plenty going on. So it's... It was easy to kind of have a distant relationship, right? I had my closest older sibling, my sister. Somehow, it's just easy to be in the background with all of that. But he came into my life when I was really struggling and in trouble. And I'm so very grateful that he got the awareness of, I need to step in. And he did. He stepped in and ended up, he took custody and I moved in with him. And so from 16 to 28, we had a beautiful, deep friendship, and we kind of moved from what can happen as a child, as a teenager, into my 20s as an adult relationship, right? So my dad was diagnosed with cancer very suddenly and unexpectedly about a year into my stepmom's bout with a return of cancer. So she had her own household, but had been living with my dad, and I was living with him at that point. Kind of had been there, left, come back, going back to school. And so he was her primary caregiver. I was the assistant. And then he started showing symptoms and became, they diagnosed him with a brain tumor. And from diagnosis to passing, leaving his body was 2 months. Very, very, very fast. And so suddenly, I was the primary caregiver of both of them, and I was managing a lot, as you might imagine, right? I reached out to a woman who had been a therapist for me as a teenager and early in my teens. She was a mentor in my life, and I called her. I recognized, okay, now I'm over my head. Like, it was okay. I was managing okay. And so that event and that experience was so upside down, and my dad left, it seemed like, well, he wasn't done with his life. It didn't seem like he was done with his life. How could this be happening? And I wasn't done with having him. I felt that. That being said, my dad said there was like these incredible moments of grace throughout that. And one of them was a beautiful conversation with my dad where he said to me, I know you don't feel ready for me to go. Right? And he was right, I didn't. He said, but you're going to be okay. You have everything you need. And that was so profound for me. Like, and he said it with such confidence, which was one of the gifts he gave me in my life, was this feeling of, I'm not worried about you. And I've learned that as a teacher, and when I'm working with students and helping them, and I have private students, and sometimes moms will come and work with me, and I'll share with them what my dad taught me. He said, it's an amazing thing to give your children and your students a vote of confidence. It's not that you don't see their struggles. He saw mine, like, it's no small thing for him not to be worried about me, and to feel like, well, at 27, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll figure it out. And it's been true, right? It's been true. That being said, at that very moment, I recognized I need a bigger God. I didn't think of it that way. But I need a bigger relationship with us, with spirituality, because mine isn't big enough. Somehow in there, because I could feel it within myself, the wrongness of it. Just seemed wrong. It just seemed so wrong. But I had a sense of, without a language of the teachings of karma and reincarnation, I had a sense of God, of things having a divine purpose, but I couldn't make sense of it. I just couldn't figure it out. And so I happened to go to a grief group, however I heard about that and went to that, and the man who was leading it, I felt a sense that he could help me. And so I asked him, and after I was in that group, if I could work with him spiritually. And so it was a whole nother miraculous story about that, right? But he really did help me, and he helped me see the bigger way in which what was happening in my life was right, and that a soul leaves when it's ready to leave, when it's finished, when it's complete, in this incarnation, right? So it's finished now. In our teachings, it's said that whatever phase we are in evolution, when we reach the point where we can't grow any further, where we've gone as far as we can go in our consciousness in this particular incarnation, in this body, in these circumstances, then we leave, right? And it's a good thing because, well, now we're ready to grow. We're ready to take our next step. And so we need to leave this in order for that to happen. And until the point of self-realization, where we don't need to come back, we will then incarnate our consciousness. We'll incarnate into the next body. And it's just kind of, they say, like if you're in first grade, and you either step right back in and you haven't finished first grade, right? Or you're going to go from first to second. There's not a big difference, usually, right? From one incarnation to the next. And part of the teaching of karma and reincarnation is the long story. That this life is a chapter, and it's a chapter in a bigger story. So with my dad, what seemed like his story wasn't finished is true. His story wasn't finished. But that chapter was finished. He'd gone as far as he could go, and even in our relationship had gone to as far as it could go, right? The loss of him broke my heart open, and I knew that I was very, very aware that prior to that connection, I don't know how long I would have lasted on the planet, but I definitely, my strategy was a closed heart. Right, it was a closed heart. So I was, I was toughing it out. And then that relationship where I felt genuine love and I felt cared for and I was, opened my heart, right? And then I felt, well, he'll be around for a long time. Like it just seemed like I was just about to step out. He'd be there forever or at least 20 more years or something. And what I knew, and it was a hard thing to know, was that now I can't live without love. And I was bummed about it. I was like, oh, why did I take that risk? Why did I do it? And I had that inner critic voice of, you know, that was kind of kicking me around, saying, why did you do it? That was the stupidest thing to do. Now look, now you've got nobody, right? And you need love. Right, so I knew I was going to have to go out into the world with an open heart and figure out, well, how do you do that? Because I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back. Like, that wasn't open for me. The grace that accompanied that, and I've really seen it with big tests, big challenges, there's a profound amount of grace that comes to support us. I've seen it consistently, not just in my own life, but in the lives of others. And it's given me comfort when I'm helping others, is to invite them to look for that grace, the giver behind all gifts. Like, this is one we'd give back. Yep, we'd give back. We don't have to be dishonest about that. You know, one of our practices is honesty and truthfulness. It's okay to say, I don't understand it. It's okay to say, okay, giver, can you take this? Could I get a different one? There's a story of Master giving out roses, right? And he gives out a rose, and one of the disciples is like, I wanted that color, right? And very strongly, what I give, you take, right? But the thing is that the love that's behind it, and that's so much the journey of discipleship, is to build a relationship where we feel a sense of trust and confidence. And that was part of what I began to learn with my dad, was how to trust somebody, how to trust. And I really did get that gift, It was an extraordinary gift where he really had my highest good in mind. And he wasn't perfect, right? He was not perfect. But in many ways, he was a hero for me because he came in at a time when, wow, 1 second longer, I just don't know. So this context of our journey, we are loved, we are held, we are guided. Our own highest self does know. So this to me is the gift of meditation and all our tools of yoga, because in those practices, it's been my experience that I can touch the knowing, that some part of me feels the grace that is happening within the difficulty. Or anything. I mean, life isn't always difficult, I have to say that. My whole journey hasn't been hard. There's been lots of, it's been a mix. It's just been a mix. It's unpredictable. That's what I've learned in my life and others. Like, okay, can't predict this one. And so how to walk with confidence in our Festival of Light, one of my favorite phrases is peace awaits you in the unknown, right? In this beautiful journey, which we'll be sharing soon about the bird's journey, it's our soul's journey. And we do get into places and times where it's scary and I can't fly and now what do I do? And we reach out and there's a grace that meets us. So one of the graces that I experienced, I was saying, was shortly after my dad had died and I was, you know, trying to get through life and make sense of things. Three different people, and there was always something to three. I don't know if someone told me it, but it has stayed true for me that, you know, the third time I hear the exact same thing gets my attention. And I had heard about this book, The Peaceful Warrior, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. So I was going to this computer store to get a computer. It was a gift my dad had given me. I was going to pick it up and take a class. And I walked in, and I was suddenly hit with so much grief. It completely surprised me. So the class was upstairs. I guess this was before the store was fully open or something. But anyways, no one was in the store but the two guys running it. And I walked in and came to a complete stop and couldn't move. And I was aware enough to say, I know this looks weird. I know the guys saw me come in and they're kind of behind the desk looking at me. And I just stood there and I just felt like, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. I guess because my dad had given me the computer or something, I don't know. And I was thinking, now what, now what, now what? And finally I just thought, I'm leaving. So I just turned around. Might have said something to them, very like, I don't know what I said, and I left. And one of the young guys ran out after me as I was at my car and came up and said, I did tell them my dad had just died. Like, I just said that, right? They're like, whoa, okay. I go, and you know what? I can't take this class today. So I go out to my car. He ran out and said, have you heard of the book, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior? I was like, what? And I said, I have recently. And he said, I think it could help you. And it's a beautiful book if you haven't read it. It's a lovely story, really about grace and about how life can be so unexpected and things can happen that, like, wait a minute, how did my path get completely interrupted in this way? And by accepting it and going with it, something else is waiting. Peace awaits you. Right? Many years later, I happened to be at a writer's conference, and Dan Millman, the author of that book, was speaking. And it was a conference for writers of how to write, how to practice creativity. And when he got up to speak, he said, well, you know, I can't really give you tools. Like, you know, I can't give you do this, do this, do this, do this. He said, my writing was a miracle. What happened to me, I can't explain, right? Which is the essence of his story. And I just remember sitting there and going, yes, right? There were others in those speakers who were basically saying, God's the doer. God's the doer. It's like, you know, I could tell you tips. I could tell you, well, I get up at this time and then I do that. And it's like, but really, that's not what wrote the book. That's not what did it. You know, how to become a national bestseller, how to, like, I can't really take any ownership of that. Can't take any ownership of that. And again, like the weaving tapestry that book was introduced to me, that I read it, and that many years later, it's just a sweet kind of thread that goes through, but I feel the presence of God in it. I feel that sense of, I'm with you, I'll help you, I'll send you the friends that you need, I'll send you the teachers, and this path, without a doubt, is the greatest blessing in my life. Right? These teachers, the greatest gift that puts my life in a context that helps me find joy and live in joy and share joy. And it's a practice, right? It's a practice that each of us are called to. I feel inspired every day. I mean this sincerely by all of you, right? Doing it together is something that, because the hardest thing for me when my dad died was the thought I'd have to be alone. Well, now it's okay back into the world alone. It's not been true. And the spiritual path is full of friendship. This spiritual path, it's the one I know, right, is full of divine friendship, full of honesty, and each person doing their best, right? And that's so deeply touching to me. So I watch others practice these teachings of karma and say, okay, so it's coming as a gift in my life. And sometimes we laugh about it, like, okay, wow, what a gift. But just to know that, to be with others who are not refuting that, right? They're not coming up with some other story for me, and I do my best to help them to say, with sensitively, like, so here's what's happening now, and what can we do, right? And somehow this is the perfect moment in this part of the story. One of my favorite things that Swami Kriyananda said is, every one of us has a happy ending. Right? And if you're not happy, it's not the end. it gets easier, right? It just gets easier. But to know that the end of our story is joy. The end of our story is bliss. And like any great epic, any great novel, he's the master creator of this. There's joy along the way, right? But how to stay centered, how to stay present, how to draw upon these teachings to hold us and help us. And the gift of friendship, our master said that second to the gift of a guru in our lives is the gift of satsang, of soul friends. And so this feels like this season is a time, and Ananda really celebrates it in an extraordinary way. The Christmas concert coming, the music today was so beautiful. It's a time, so I invite you to step into the grace. I'll walk with you in that, and look for God everywhere, and let us together give thanks to the giver behind all gifts. Bless you. Oh.
Time has come to arrive.